In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the third Sunday of Tut, and in it we read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, just 10 verses. And in it we read the story, the very familiar story, of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, or the publican. Today we're just going to try to pick three points to contemplate and to see what we can learn from the story of the tax collector, the publican, Zacchaeus. I think the first thing that we can see from this story is that no one, no matter what they have done, is too evil or too bad or too far away to be saved or to be changed. No one is beyond the power of God's grace and of God's working in their life. No one of us can say this to God, can say, I've done too many things in my past, and I know you will not accept me. We see this especially in Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus was not just an ordinary man. Okay, firstly, he was rich. Secondly, he was what? A tax collector, a publican. And if you know anything about the tax collectors back then, the Roman Empire, they didn't go and actually try to collect the taxes themselves. What they used to do is hire people from among the people themselves to collect these taxes. Okay? And what did they use these taxes for? They used the taxes against the people that they were collecting from. How? What do I mean? Well, the Roman Empire was the one that invaded the whole world and took over Israel at the time. So, if you think about it, a tax collector is, yes, he could be a Jew, but he's what? Working for Rome. This is why the tax collectors back then were very much hated. They were despised, not hated. Hated is a very light word. They were despised by the people because every time they took taxes, the people would realize that we're giving this man, one of our own, working for the Romans, giving them money so that they can oppress us, so they could send their soldiers and beat us and steal from us. So you can imagine how much the Lord looked at Zacchaeus with compassion and how much he was hated by the people. We see Zacchaeus becoming a disciple of the Lord. We see, as it's written, we see the camel going through what? The eye of the needle. And we see this rich man entering into the kingdom of heaven. We see a covetous, rich tax collector becoming justified, becoming a disciple, leaving his evil. So we need to remember that the door of hope for every one of us is always open. Don't ever let the devil close the door of hope on you. Don't ever let him say to you, oh, you've done this and this and this and this. You're such an evil person. You're going to go and do the same thing over again. Don't let him close the door of hope. Don't let him cut off your ties with the Lord. Don't let him, no matter what we've done, no matter how unworthy we feel, no matter how many times I've disobeyed my mom and my dad, no matter how many times I've kept a very messy room, no matter how many times I've cheated at work, no matter how many times I've been dishonest, no matter how many times I've been unfaithful to my wife or to my husband, do not let the door of hope be closed on you. Just like the Lord said in Isaiah, He gives us so much hope. Look what He says. Even though your sins be as scarlet. Scarlet is what? It's like a deep red. Even though your sins be as scarlet, They shall be as white as what? White as what? Snow. White as snow. This is the gospel of Christ. This is the gospel of hope. Unlike a hospital, many hospitals, when you go into them, sometimes, and doctors don't get offended, but sometimes you walk in and you come out sicker. Correct? And we all hear that, and we all know that, and we've seen people that way. But with Christ, there are no incurable diseases. No matter what disease, spiritual I'm talking about, what spiritual disease I have in me, lust, my pride, love of money, love of power, selfishness, nothing is incurable for the Lord. Remember what He said in the Gospel of St. John. He who comes to me, I shall by no means what? Cast out. Anyone who comes to the Lord will not be cast out. So always keep the door of what? Hope. Keep the door of hope open to you. Don't let the devil take it away. Don't let him lock it and continue to lock it with one and two and three and four locks. No. This is what the Lord came to do. He came to break the door. He came to open it for us. He came to remove these locks. So you, me, in our life, we have a lock that we think is closed. We have a door that seems to be sealed for hundreds of days. The Lord can open it in a second. The door of hope. Keep Zacchaeus in front of you as an example, especially to the young people. No matter what happens, the Lord is always willing and waiting for you to come back. So the first point is, no one is beyond God's power or God's grace. The second thing that we can see from Zacchaeus is that true repentance always has some sort of evidence or proof. What does that mean? If I truly repent of my sin, who knows what repentance means? Who knows what repentance means? To change our ways, to change our mind. So, true repentance, true changing of my mind, always has evidence. There has to be proof in my life. Okay? There has to be proof in my life. What does that mean? Look at the case of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said to the Lord, what? A quarter of my goods? Some of my goods? No. He said what? Half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody wrongly, what is he going to do? Pay them back? Four times. Four times. Not one time. Not two. Not three. Four times. Four times. Unmistakable proof that Zacchaeus became a new creation. And my dearly beloved, this is exactly what happens to us when we, what? Repent. Repent is like the Holy Spirit's magical word. Okay? It's a beautiful thing. Because when we repent, the heart of stone that I have turns into a soft heart. A heart that's alive. A heart that's beating. A heart that's filled with God's love. A heart that is filled with blood. Filled and pumping and nourishing my life. This is the heart that is affected by the Lord. This is the repentant heart. Remember what St. Paul said. Very simply. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new, very good. He is a new what? Creation. If anyone is in Christ, ulumaya, he is what? A new creation. A new creation. Something completely new. Then he continues, he says, old things have passed away. Behold. What's the word behold mean? Look. 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 All things have become new. Old things have passed away. Behold. All things have become what? New. We see that he was a rich man. The first verse of the gospel says, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and he was rich. We know what the Lord said about rich people. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to what? Enter the kingdom of heaven. But he, we're going to see him go through the eye of the needle. We're going to see him enter. And if we look at the examples, the true examples of repentance amongst the stories of our saints, their true repentance always had some sort of lasting effect. They never went back to what they left. Look at St. Moses the Black. He was a murderer, a thief, a rapist. All evil things. And he did not once return to what he left. Remember St. Mary of Egypt. She was trying to enter into the Church of the Resurrection in Jerusalem. And she felt, the story says, a hand at her chest holding her. Like some sort of force, not allowing her to enter the church. And after that, she heard the voice from the icon. She went into the desert and she spent 47 years in repentance. 47 years. The rest of her life. So we see true repentance must have what? What am I saying? Must have what? Proof. Must have evidence in my life. Let us ask ourselves. I've repented so many times. I've gone to Abuna so many times. What proof do you have to offer? What proof do I have to offer for my repentance? Did I give half of my goods to the poor? Did I give somebody back four times what I stole? Or when I confess that I steal, I don't even want to go return it. Abuna tells me, my son, return what you've stolen. At least the value. Oh, Abuna, I can't do that. And look at Zacchaeus. Four times. So by going to them, the poor people, he was admitting that he was a thief to them. What is the proof of repentance in my life? Where are your fruits? Take a piece of paper when you get home and a pen and sit down and write for yourself the fruits of your repentance. Write it down. Only for your eyes. Keep it just for yourself. And see what kind of list is there. Is there even one or two things? What is the fruit of our repentance, my beloved brethren? And the third and final point. How is it, question, how is it that Zacchaeus was able to see the Lord? He did what? He climbed a tree. We all know that. And we all know that trees are made of what? Wood. Trees are made of wood. What was the cross made of? Wood. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Today, we celebrate the third day of the Feast of the Cross. And this is the third lesson we can learn from Zacchaeus. The only way we can see the Lord in our life is if we carry our cross. We climb up to the cross and we willingly crucify ourselves. What does that mean? Do I literally crucify myself? No. St. Paul says in Galatians, to crucify the lusts, the desires, the passions of what? The flesh. This is what it is. What does that mean? To crucify? To hold carry my cross. It's to bear the burden that the Lord has given me. To carry the cross that the Lord has asked me to carry. Not to do what I wish to do, but to do what He wishes me to do. How many of us, if you really sit and think, the reason why we have so many conflicts in our life, husband with wife, wife with husband, children with parents, colleagues with each other, is that because we wish to do what we want. We always want to do what we want. And this could even lead us to very, very big problems in our life. Because we may go around thinking that I'm right and I'm always right. And no matter who it is wrong. As long as this is my opinion, this is what I believe to be true, then that's it. Taking up the cross is doing what the Lord wants us to do, not what we want to do. Another thing about the cross and the wood is to follow the Lord, the directions, just like Zacchaeus did. What did Zacchaeus do? What was said to him? The Lord said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. What does make haste mean? Who knows? Who knows what make haste means? Quickly. Quickly. So He says today, Zacchaeus, quickly come down. Come down quickly. For today I must stay at your house. To carry the cross means to obey the Lord. To be quick in our response to Him. Don't wait until you think about it and, well, maybe this is right, maybe I should, and what should I do? No. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Now. Come down now. And I will be in your house. I must go to your house today. So this is what the Lord is saying to us. Every time we remember the cross, every time we cross ourselves, every time we read this gospel, we have to remember and think that in order for us to be with the Lord, we must carry our cross. We must be quick to obey Him. May God give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom and especially the will and the grace to do these things that He wishes us to do. And glory be to God forever. Amen.